Welcome to CFO.University's audio version of Nick Warren's CFO Ed Talk, a proactive versus reactive approach to risk management. Nick provides multiple tips on how to maximize the return on your insurance spend by using a proactive risk management strategy. Enjoy, learn, engage.
So we all love insurance. Well, actually, that's just me. Most people actually tend to tense up when they hear the word insurance. Organizations typically buy insurance based on catastrophic events that can cripple their business and organization on an overall basis. I'll never forget when I was 22 years old and I had just become a broker, I sat down with an owner of a sign manufacturer, and him and his son looked at me, and after 15 minutes of talking about risk and their insurance needs, the owner turned to me and said, "Nick, I really have no idea what you're talking about. Just make sure that blank is covered when it hits the fan." And he didn't use the word blank, obviously, but you get the point. So those type of situations are what we typically run into, where it's more of a reactive approach than focusing on a proactive situation. So most people don't like to buy insurance. Insurance has a negative connotation. It has a negative ROI for a lot of companies. And so a finance exec, when they're thinking about the insurance world, they spend a lot of money on premium and they don't get a lot of return. Now, when they do get a lot of return, that's because there's a claim that happens, and that's not necessarily a good solution either. And so from a finance exec's perspective, insurance tends to be the 30th bucket list on their priority list, and typically is why they're willing to outsource it to a broker. So where do people actually like insurance? Well, here's the case. When there's a burning building. So there's an adage in the insurance world, you can insure a burning building. But typically that's when people want to talk about insurance, is when the building's on fire, when their employee's gotten hurt, when there's some type of catastrophic event that's caused damage to their property or to their people. So overall, I'm going to share a few stories about my 15 years in the risk management insurance world. And spent most of my professional life, and if you ask my wife, my personal life as well, trying to master the art of risk management. So back to basics, what is risk? So risk is an activity or an action that causes something to go wrong. So another way of saying it is certainty versus uncertainty. So certainty is obviously something that everyone's comfortable with when they understand what the situation is or what the need is. Uncertainty is where we start getting into risk, and we do these for certain reasons. And so why do we take risks? So you see now a picture of a person jumping off of a cliff and going into the water. So they likely walked to the edge of the cliff, took a look down, see that there was nothing at the bottom. Hopefully they actually walked to the bottom, swam around a little bit, checked out the bottom to make sure that there was no issues with the rocks underneath, climbed back up, did their dive in, and came back to the top and did it again. Enjoyment. In the world of business, why do we take risk? Well, we take a lot of risk because there's certain things that can be enhanced in our businesses by doing so. Whether it's efficiencies, whether it's cutting costs, whether it's finding some type of market competitive advantage against our competitors in terms of going to market. So there's all types of reasons that companies take risks, and a lot of times they feel it's going to be beneficial, but that's obviously not always the case. So how do we identify risks? So when you step back and when we talk with our clients and we sit down and talk to organizations about where they're at from a risk perspective, we look at four quadrants: financial, operational, strategic, and hazard. So the four that you see here, we'll dive into each of the four, and I have a few stories for each that'll hopefully lighten the mood when we've talked so much about the insurance and everyone's favorite topic. So from financial risk, I was just with a company last weekend up in Alaska, and the gentleman was talking about some theft that he had, about $40,000 worth of inventory that was stolen, including a power generator. Obviously not a fun way to start off the week when they found out that the storage facility had been raided by an unknown source. Fortunately, we had talked to them about 2 years ago about putting cameras in. And so they had cameras of what the suspects looked like. They were wearing masks, unfortunately, but they were able to actually ID the truck because they didn't cover the license plate when they came in. And so now the police are on the hunt to hopefully find and track that down. We'll follow up with you later on that. The second financial risk that I'd like to talk about is from a cybersecurity perspective. About 10 years ago, the topic of cybersecurity was a foreign concept to a number of organizations. Everyone thought that their systems were beefed up. They had no issues in terms of focusing on needing to prevent the risk from happening. They just had the money and they had the IT staff to be able to solve the issues proactively. Well, we've learned through the years now, looking at TJ Maxx, or we look at the federal government or Delta, a number of organizations you can keep rattling on the list, but obviously people are finding out that if the federal government can get hacked into, likely my mid-sized company is probably susceptible. So we've really ramped up in terms of the financial risk of looking at transferring that risk from a first party to a third party. And so when we work with companies on that regard, we think of proactive risk that you can actually mitigate or eliminate or avoid. Then there's a transfer of a risk, which is working with an insurance company. And then in the event of an unfortunate situation, there's a claims handling and situation that can arise. So the second risk that we'll talk about is strategic risk. Strategic risk is really focused on strategy going forward that can be both positive and negative to affect your business. So think about hiring and firing. Every company is hiring and firing. There's issues typically that come up, whether it's in the onboarding process, having employees as they operate within your organization, or the offboarding process if you have to ask them to leave or they leave to a competitor. There's also strategic risk related to mergers and acquisitions and really growth. So when you focus on growth, there's various ways to grow. You can grow organically, so you can keep growing and doing the same things you're doing to increase revenue. You can grow through expansion, so you can buy other facilities, go into different geographies, expand internationally, or you can buy through acquisition. And acquisitions, as we know from some of my other peers that are here and talking in these various videos, about 70 to 90% of acquisitions fail. So there's obviously some strategic risk, both positive and negative, in order to figure out what the best route to go is in order to optimize the strategy from a risk perspective. The third one is operational risk. So these are two interesting stories. In the world of manufacturing and doing manufacturing jobs, this is a very critical skill. This helps with lifting, with pulling. So the ability to put your finger and thumb together is a critical step in terms of the hiring process, in terms of making sure that people can handle the loads that are required within a manufacturing organization. We had a client that unfortunately had a circumstance where an employee was working the night shift and had lost the top right to the first knuckle of his finger. So he ended up going out on workers' comp, obviously had some significant downtime, and was awarded $25,000 for his pain and suffering. So that's an obviously insurable risk that comes through workers' compensation. Now, we also had a very clever second employee who assumed that with $25,000, if you lost maybe two knuckles, you could have $50,000 of damage. And he, unfortunately, was a little bit in debt. He had just bought a truck. He had just figured out a way to buy a ring to propose to his girlfriend. So he was significantly burdened with some debt. So he figured by losing his index finger, not a big deal, would be able to get the $50,000 and pay that off to then pay off his debts. Well, fortunately, we were a little bit more proactive in that and actually had been focusing on that specific machine given the previous workers' comp claim. So we had installed cameras throughout the facility and again, unfortunately caught this gentleman doing what he did, was severed up to the second knuckle, and unfortunately that is what we call an uninsurable loss. So when you talk about risk management and insurance, there's insurable losses and also uninsurable losses. The first one being an insurable loss, and the second one obviously, intentional act is not an insurable event. So again, unfortunate for the individual. The individual obviously is no longer with the client. But at the end of the day, those are things that you're trying to prevent and incentivize people from doing on a proactive basis. And the fourth quadrant is hazard risk. So hazard risk is what we're all familiar with, where Mother Nature comes in, whether it's an earthquake, a flood, a windstorm, and those things are devastating to our organization, shut us down from a business interruption perspective, and cause maybe, you know, days to months delay in our running our organization. So the really big one is the one that everyone's heard about, which is the really big one, which has come out of the New Yorker article. And that was a big discussion for a lot of our clients, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. As soon as it was understood that there was a threat that the Cascadia subduction zone was going to potentially come together or, excuse me, shift and cause this massive earthquake, we've all of a sudden seen a very big uptake in people being concerned about their facilities, where their employees are, when they're looking for expansion and relocation, where they're going to be located, and really taking a focus on these catastrophic type of risk scenarios. So overall, the four quadrants of risk, financial, strategic, operational, and hazard, are the basis for kind of getting organizations started in terms of looking at what their risks truly entail. So now we're going to start with prevention of risk starts with P. And P is actually PEA, so not P as in prevention. So the first P is proactive versus reactive. And so we've talked a lot about being on the forefront of actually analyzing your risk and looking at certain ways to help mitigate those risks. So finding ways to evaluate and get rid of those. The adage that we use is plan your work and work your plan. We have so many organizations that have policies, whether it's your employee handbook or whether it's any other types of certain specific policies and procedures. You put these beautiful, nice, glossy binders together, and what do they do when they're all finished up? They go on the shelf, never to be seen again. Well, that really is a great thought and check the box, but it really doesn't help prevent the losses from occurring in the first place if it's not an active plan where you're actually working it. So an interesting scenario was we had set up, we noticed that there was an increase in clients submitting wire transfer frauds. So a lot of international operations, probably similar to your organization, when a rush request comes from a financial needs overseas, a wire transfer is typically made. Well, these hackers are now deciding and figuring out creative ways to hack into organizations and then create these false requests. So, interesting, I had a large steel manufacturer that I was working with. The CFO had been there for 20 years, and she had retired. And so within the week of the new CFO coming on, we were standing in the London Heathrow Airport with my client, who the day-to-day was the treasurer, and he received an email from this new CFO saying, I need a wire transfer of $100,000 as quickly as you can to this new bank account. Now, fortunately, we knew this was obviously a fake wire transfer. A, it doesn't go to the treasurer, it was going to the controller at the time. And B, this one-week CFO was so brand new, he didn't even know what was going on at this point and would not be sending these immediate requests. So the plan worked, A, because we obviously, they sent it to the wrong person, but we also had set up previously a procedure to make sure that anything over $25,000 would be signed off by two finance execs before being processed. And so we've caught throughout the last couple of years a number of these that as they continually get hit in trying to make these fake wire transfers go through. So here's a statistic from OSHA, which shows that $3 in savings is related to every $1 spent on safety. And so this relates to both employee safety and also your facility safety. So speaking of return on investment, this is a significant way, although obviously tough to judge at the end of the day because the event should not happen if you put that $1 in to save the $3 eventually. But a 300% ROI is traditionally what we found both in an OSHA study and from Liberty Mutual Insurance. So the second of the prevention of risk of the P model is EVE, which is empowerment. And empowerment is important within your organization for a variety of reasons. But traditionally, in the risk management world, the adage we use is it's not if, it's when. And this is in particular to cybersecurity and insurance, which has started to affect every organization who have significant amounts of data internally, but also are now starting to utilize the cloud. And so this is a situation where I had a food processing client, and we got together with senior executives from the CFO and finance team, IT, legal, security, and HR. And we got together and sat around a table for about 2.5 hours and talked about their overall risks related to specifically cybersecurity. And it was incredible what came out of it and the amount of input each individual had beyond IT, because HR was affected if something would go down and have critical systems. The legal team would have certain situations with their contracts if they couldn't access quickly enough for a certain project that was needed. So there was all these different inputs about what would happen in the event of someone coming in and shutting down the systems. So at the end of the 2.5 hours, we all sat around and laughed, and the general counsel actually turned to everyone and said, we should do this more often. And so we laughed and said, this is such an easy thing to do in terms of getting people together, although coordinating schedules is difficult. But at the end of the day, it's something that's really important in terms of making sure that you get everyone together, you're empowering the people to speak about their concerns, and also figuring out ways to get a synergy and a collaborative group together in order to talk about the risk and insurance needs. And the final for A is awareness. And awareness is something that's very difficult for a lot of organizations because of the getting together and everyone's working in silos. And so from an awareness perspective, we had a building materials company that unfortunately had an issue with some decking that was a legacy claim and product recall that they had about 20 years ago. Well, you can't go to every house that this decking went into throughout the country and find it and then pull it out and replace it. So still within the last year, we've actually had a claim arise. The CFO was not aware that this claim had occurred, and the treasurer was the one that actually got the reporting coming into his desk, which came to us. So we were sitting around a dinner one evening, and we were mentioning about the deck claim that had occurred. And obviously, unbeknownst to the CFO, who had no idea what was going on, she was upset that she was not aware of this significant claim and a permanent injury that had happened to a third party that will greatly affect the balance sheet going forward. So again, the prevention of risk starts with P, P-E-A. So in a world where 10 minutes can save you 10% on your insurance, There needs to be a more focus on the proactive side versus the reactive side. And the road to risk management success can feel uncertain and look like this. However, a focus on risk management and focusing on other profitable ventures versus a focus on risk management can often have you riding the high wire. So focusing on the PEA model and starting with the four quadrants of risk can help you from a proactive strategy and protect your organization while improving your overall balance sheet.